Hi, I'm glad you tuned in to the Mission Delray podcast. I believe you will be blessed by Pastor Carl's message this week. We're a spirit-filled, multicultural church based out of Delray Beach, South Florida. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the mission, Pastor Carl, and our vision, just go ahead and log on to www.themissiondelray.com.
Come here, say yeah. All right. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 says, "Whoever receives you receives me." Now, these words are in red, so we know they're important, all right? It means Jesus is talking, all right? "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives him who sent me." Let me say it again. "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." Verse 41. "The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Can you say amen? I want to share today some things that I consider to be really fundamental truths of the gospel, fundamental truths of how the church is supposed to operate, and fundamental truths of how Jesus ministered on the earth. Now, I may not have a point and subpoints to this, but I really feel like if you open your heart today and you hear the spirit at which this is being spoken, it's really going to kind of revolutionize your Christianity and really help propel you into your calling. Amen? So just kind of... There's a battle in so many churches. There's a battle for people who feel called, or a battle for people who want to be closer to God, or who want to be used by God, or want to serve in certain levels. There's a battle for position. Fear leads to control. Okay? When you have fear in your life, you feel the need to control things in your life. Conversely, control leads to fear. If someone is controlling, you're fearful of them. And if you don't normally take notes, today is the day you want to take notes. On the back of the bulletin, we leave little lines there you can write on. Here's the challenge in church. What happens if I don't have the power to punish you for doing something wrong? What happens in your family if you don't have the power to punish people? What happens in your relationships if you give up the power to punish people for doing things wrong to you? Most people, they say, well, if I can't, you know, if they do something wrong to me, I then have to punish them in order to let them know they've done something wrong in order for me to regain control in this relationship. You hear where I'm going? You did something wrong to me. Now I'm going to let you know that you did something wrong by now treating you badly, and now we're in this position. If you want me now to favor you or to honor you, you have to earn it by being nice to me. Okay? That's how most relationships work. That's carnal. That's how the flesh works. If you're coming at me, I got to come at you and let you know I'm going to keep you at arm's distance. And that's how the world works. Okay? That's not how the kingdom works. That's called manipulation. I'm going to control you through your emotions. That's witchcraft. You know, doesn't mean if you've done that, you know, now God considers you a witch and he's going to send you to hell for eternity. But it is the root of witchcraft. I'm going to control you by your emotions. And it's not godly. We say, well, but how are people going to be nice to me if I don't, you know, let them know they've treated me badly? Well, there's the paradox. There's the paradox. If I don't have power to punish you, what will motivate you to treat me nicely? Well, love of God. What if I have nothing to gain from you? What if you have nothing for me? What if you have nothing to offer me? Why would I even respect you at all? Why would I even give you the time of day? Look, I'm the big preacher. I'm standing on stage. I got the microphone. What do you have for me? Why would I even be nice to you? You can't do anything for me. So what do you do in church? You come to the pastor and you start, you know, groveling. You know, you do a little flattery. Show them how much you gave. Look, pastor, I'm serving. Look, I'm serving. Am I now going to be a somebody? Can you make me a deacon? Can you make me a... What if just the love of God motivated? Okay? Fear begets control. Control begets fear. But what if we just went by the scripture? Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. What if, instead of looking how you might hurt me, what if I look for God in you and I honor Christ in you? Does this make sense? What if I really believe that God is the Lord of heaven and earth and he created everything and everything that was created through him? Okay, let's just act like we believe the Bible. Okay, just for a minute. I don't want to go too far with this. I don't want to, for our whole lives or anything, but just for the sake of this little discussion, let's act like we believe the Bible and we believe that everything that was created through Jesus. Okay? That means that you were created by God. So something in you is godly. If you have any gifts and talents, any abilities at all, they came from God. They're not you, they're from God. Now, what if I decided to honor the gift of God in you as unto the Lord? What if I decided to honor God by honoring the gift that is in you? All right, let me break this down a little bit. You have to understand there's calling, there's gifts, and there's anointing. Okay? There's calling, there's giftings, and there's anointings. Okay? And we mix these up all the time. And because we mix these up, we have a hard time interacting with one another. Your calling gives you identity. Okay? Who you're called to be gives you identity. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. He often, in the beginning of his epistles, would write that. Look, I am called to be an apostle. It's who I am. It's who Christ Jesus created me to be. See? So we receive Paul as an apostle. Now, your gifting gives you abilities. Your gifting, you want to write that down. Your calling gives you an identity. Your gifting gives you ability. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Use it to serve one another. And the anointing gives purpose. Okay? The easy one to think about is Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. It gives purpose, okay? It gives purpose. Now, we mix all these up. Okay, we say, look, you have not earned my respect yet. You just got saved or you're backslidden. Or if I show you any honor at all, then I'm elevating you above myself. Or I say you're right. And so I can't give you that level of power in my life. So I have to keep you down so you don't get too prideful. That's how the world thinks. I have to keep you down so you don't feel that you're higher than me. Here's real control. Self-control. Self-control says, I'm not going to allow your behavior to dictate how I behave. I believe God is in a good mood. I believe he's not angry at me. Because my Bible says that his wrath was satisfied through the scourging of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Through that sacrifice, his wrath was satisfied, right? Anybody read that in the Bible? It's in there. Okay. So if I'm having a bad day, I don't believe that the God of heaven and earth is all of a sudden in a bad mood. I don't believe God is in heaven on his throne, angels are worshiping, elders are bowing down, and he says, oh, Carl watched TV too long today. Forget it, guys. Just go home. What am I going to do? Forget it. Jesus, just don't. Get the lamb up. Let's go. I don't believe that's what he's saying. I don't believe that's what's happening in heaven. I believe that he is in heaven being worshiped, and what I'm doing is not affecting what he's doing. I am not in control of God. Okay? So say you come to me you know, with a funky attitude. I just said funky. Yes, I did. Okay. So say you come. Now, who's in control of the situation here? Am I going to allow you to control me and now I have to be rude to you? Or do I say, you don't have control over me. My emotions stay the same. I'm still going to bless. I'm still going to honor. Okay. If calling gives identity, and gifting gives ability, and anointing gives purpose, here's how we get that mixed up. Let's say, okay, Sergio is our worship leader. Okay. Say somebody comes into the church who makes better music, is more skilled in production, is a better singer possibly, or has a whole group, has a live band that can do what Sergio's doing. Well, in the natural, Sergio now needs to make sure that he cuts their feet out from under them, doesn't let them get too much power, otherwise they'll take his position. Right? That's how the world works. I got to keep that person down. I got to point out to pastor the things that I've seen wrong in his life. Hey, pastor, that John, yeah, he's anointed, man. But yeah, you see what he was doing with his girl? Yeah. You know, just constantly just cutting people out. Because you can't allow him to get too high because Sergio loses his position. Now, what if Sergio is called to be the worship leader of this house? Now, what if that's his calling? Now Sergio is standing in his calling. Now he sees old Johnny or whoever come to church who's gifted. Sergio can say, wow, I see the gifting in your life. I want to bless it because that's God in you, the gift of God in you. I want to bless it. I want to honor it. I want to pour into it so you can come into your calling. He's not threatened by his position because someone anointed is around. He can pour into that thing. Let's go back to our original verse. Now, if Sergio receives this man because of the anointing on his life, because of the gifting in his life, then Sergio gets the same reward that guy is getting from God. It's a win-win. Now, if I try to keep you down, let's say I'm at level 3, and this guy's at level 2, and he's coming up a little bit, so I want to step on him to keep him from, you know, I can't let you get up too high, you know? Now, I stay at a 3, and you stay at a 2 or a 1.5. And now, what if I propel you to a 4? Now, you just got a 2 reward, right? I get a 2 reward. You hear what I'm saying? Is anybody following me here? Because I receive the gift in him, I get his reward also. Now, I'm at a 5, he's at a 4. I mean, we're growing together. You hear what I'm saying? You see, I'm blessing the gift in you because I'm not threatened. See, I'm the pastor of the mission. God called me to be here. I'm not worried about someone else coming in and taking over. It ain't going to happen. There's no one can vote me out. I mean, I looked through the Bible. I didn't see a lot of voting. You know how you can vote me out? Stop coming. You know, enough people agree with you, then I don't have a church anymore. That's it. But I'm not threatened. That's why we have a vision to raise up revivalists. That's why I'm not scared to, you know, continue to bless people, to continue to challenge people, to get people to operate in their giftings. I'm not worried that some more anointed prophet comes along and, oh, they get better words than me. Oh, no, I better. No, praise God. Come on. Grow in your gift. I want to see people rise up in Christ. You hear what I'm saying? I want to see people rise in their gifting. I'm not threatened because I know my calling. Since I know my calling, I know who I am in Christ Jesus, I can bless your calling. I can bless your gifting. I can bless your anointing. I can honor God in you because I'm not threatened. See, now when you're insecure, you don't know who you are. You don't want anybody else to know who they are. You ever known those people? Want to mock everybody around them? Oh, she thinks he's this. Oh, he thinks he's all that. Oh, she thinks, well, what are you called to? I don't know, but I know if I don't know, they shouldn't know. You know, come on, man. I'm not confused about who I am. And your confusion isn't going to make me confused. So what we do is we see people who are very, very anointed. And in the church, we confuse that with calling. We see the guy or the lady who can prophesy real good. Oh, they must be, we should make them in charge. We confuse those things. And especially in charismatic Christianity, it throws it all out of whack. The gift and the call don't go away. The anointing ebbs and flows. depending on your relationship with the Holy Ghost. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. It's irrevocable. But like I said, the anointing ebbs and flows depending on your relationship with God. That's why I can be very intimate with God, and I can be extremely anointed. But it doesn't mean just because I'm extremely anointed, I'm supposed to be the apostle of Florida. It just means I'm very, very anointed to do the thing that I was called to do. And in charismatic Christianity, what we do is we see the people who are most anointed, and we think that they're supposed to be in charge. More frequently, someone says, look, I'm very anointed, you should make me in charge. People begin to promote themselves. Because we have this worldly view of what the church hierarchy is supposed to be. If I'm more anointed means I'm closer to God, it means I'm supposed to be in charge of you. And in the church, it says this, look, I'm closer to the pastor than you are, I'm supposed to be in charge. You see this? You see this? Y'all getting this at all? Is this making sense? Remember, Matthew 10:41, the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. One who receives a righteous person because he's righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. So what does that mean for you? You're not the pastor of this church. It doesn't make you any higher or lower on any totem pole that you've made up in your mind than me. You're the righteous person. When you walk into that world, the people who receive you can receive Jesus. Since you've received righteousness from Christ, since you have received salvation from Christ, since you have received freedom in Christ, since you have received healing in Christ, you can now give it away to whoever receives you. Y'all catching this? Am I speaking to anybody here? Is this? Yeah? So what does that do? That gives me complete freedom to not worry about folk. See, I'm not allowed to judge people's motives. I'm not allowed to judge their hearts. I'm not allowed to judge your intentions. I'm not allowed to do that. As a Christian, we're not allowed to do that. And that frees you up. You don't have to start looking into people's lives. Oh, I bet she meant this. How about we just assume the best of people? What if we just say, man, that was really stupid. I wonder what their real intention was, because I doubt their intention was to hurt me. I doubt their intention was to cause a problem in the church. I doubt their intention was to make people think that they were trying to take over. Let me find out what God's doing in their life so I can bless it and guide it in the right direction. You see, because there is leadership in the church. There is leadership. And it's like the banks of a river. Okay, the anointing comes, and without the banks of a river, it just causes a flood. But with banks, there's power. There's direction. It gives purpose. And that's how the leadership works in a church. The leadership in a church is to look to the people of the house and say, okay, who's gifted to do what? Who's called to do what? Who's anointed to do what? And to bless those gifts and kind of bring the banks in to give people direction into what they're called to do. Not what the church generally does is says, okay, I see this gift and I don't want to be overshadowed, so you can only use this much of it in between these two areas. You know, I see you're an evangelist. I see you have leadership giftings. I don't want you to do it in the church because people might respect you more than me, so I'm going to make you in charge of the homeless ministry. I was at a leadership conference, and there was a whole session on administrative stuff. And as anybody who knows me knows, I can't administrate myself out of a wet bag. You know what I mean? It's horrible. I am no kind of an administrator. And so at the end of the session, I went up to the guy and I said, I'd like you to pray for me that I could see who in my church has these gifts, because I have no gift of administration. He's like, no, everybody has a little bit. I said, no, I'm not trying to learn administration. I'm not trying to get a grip. The Bible says it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and I don't have it. Just pray that I can see it in the house, that I can recognize it, and I can bless that person who feels called to it so they can operate in their gifting. You see the difference? You don't see me on stage trying to lead worship because I'm scared Sergio's going to get too popular. You know what I'm saying? You don't see me cutting his songs out from under him and cutting them off and getting up there to do the... I'm not scared of Sergio. I'm not scared of him. I'm not scared of putting leaders in charge of things. I know what I'm called to do, so I can bless. Y'all following here? I know this isn't a woo, let's run around the building kind of word. But if you get a grip on this blessing people, if you get a grip on this honoring people, honoring the call of God to people, if you get a grip in your life of this thing, then you get to go just be a blessing. You're not walking around looking for a blessing. You are the blessing. And as you bless, God honors you who honors other people. You're trying to stamp down other people. God's like, I need a blessing. He's like, why would I give you a blessing? You ain't doing nothing with the blessing I already gave you. I want to be a conduit of blessing. People want more money. He's like, God, why would I give you more money? You ain't doing nothing with it that's righteous. I have people come to me and say, you know, I want some financial breakthrough, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, you got a budget? How much do you need? Well, get your finances in order, dog. Give God something to bless. I need prophetic words. I need more prophetic unction. Why? Because I want to give it away as much as possible. I'm not standing up on here and saying, guys, I got a prophetic word, and I'm going to now tell you how great I am because of my prophetic word. I am so anointed that the Lord is doing this in my ministry now. I am so anointed that God is now using me to do this. Let me tell you this other prophetic word I have for me. I am just, you know. If you're anointed, you don't have to tell people. They'll know. Just do what God has called you to do. You want to hear me stand up here and tell you, you know, how anointed I am? Or you want me to bring some people on here who got saved recently? I'd rather hear the salvation stories than me telling you how anointed I am to get people saved. Amen? Come on, amen? There's two kind of people who give me testimonies. There's people who want me to honor them, and there's people who want me to honor God. The people who want to honor God, I bring them on stage all day long. People want me to honor them, they don't get so much mic time. You know? It just is what it is. We're not gonna puff up pride, but that's another story. Okay, so Pastor, I'm called, I feel anointed, I feel gifted. How come I don't get to function in this calling and gifting anointing that I'm in? Have I told you how anointed I am, Pastor? I mean, do you know how anointed I am? Because clearly, if you knew how anointed I was, you would put me... Okay. Jesus, it says in the Word that Jesus, in Luke 2:52, it says he increased in wisdom and favor with God and man. Isn't that interesting? He increased in favor with God and man. In Proverbs, I like it even better. It says in Proverbs 3, it says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Isn't that interesting? They link steadfast love with favor. Authority in the church is delegated. Authority in the church is delegated. You want delegated authority, then you need to gain favor with man because of your steadfastness and your faithfulness, your steadfast love and your faithfulness. This makes sense? There's prophets who want to come here and be prophets, but they got no pastor. You come here and tell me that you're anointed to minister, but you got no pastor. You can't walk in authority that has not been delegated to you. I met some guys this week, and they gave me their business card. They always got a business card for some reason. They got a because you're not going to see the anointing on me, so I got to put it on a business card. You know, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. And they said, yeah, you know, hey, we saw that you're in this area. We see we're close to you. You know, we have this prophetic ministry, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they say, you know, we're not part of the traditional church. I said, oh, too bad, because I am. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you're not a part of the traditional church. What that tells me is I'm not letting anybody pastor me because they don't see how anointed I am. Oh, they might see the anointing, but they see everything else in your life, and you don't want to deal with that. I've told all the people I disciple, if you have anybody come up to you, give you a prophetic word, one of these, you know, I feel like you should do this or you should do that. You say, whoa. Here's my pastor's phone number. Why don't you give him a call? Let him test it for me. Now, someone wants to bless you, receive a blessing. You know, God's doing a wonderful thing in your life, blah, blah. You know, be blessed. Word of knowledge, be blessed. But they get these directional words. Guess what? No, these folks are covered. These people are covered. There's leadership in this house who hears from God. There's a covering. And so if someone says, hey, just go. And they're like, what, you can't receive a prophetic word? Yeah, I can. But it's going to be judged. And you know what? Those people never call me. They never call me. I've had one person in my life say, you know, hey, can you share with my pastor? I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Give him a call. Hey, what's up? Who's this? Well, this is, you know, Carl Thomas. I got a prophetic word for one of your guys. Just wanted to share it with you. What? You know, no, I believe in order, you know. Uh-huh. You know, it freaks people out because they're not used to kingdom order. Kingdom order. If you're called, then you know you're called. You know you're called, but there's an order to it. There's an order to it. And there's an order in this house. We're not just having some, oh, I don't know what to do with the anointing. I see you're anointed. Let me just make you in charge of everything. No, it doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, since people mix leadership, anointing, and gifting, since they get all that messed up, Paul, even in his epistles to Timothy, said, listen, you got to make some leaders in the church. In 1 Timothy 5, he tells them, hey, the elders have to run the house. He didn't say the prophets. He didn't say the teachers. He said the elders have to run the house. The elders. Well, how do you come up with an elder? How then are we supposed to know who's supposed to be in charge? Who's got the greatest gift of prophecy, right? Because they're closest to God, clearly. The apostles, maybe? No. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. So you want to be a leader in the house of God? That's good. God blesses that. I'm not scared of that. I don't feel that you're prideful. People come up to me and they say, oh, Pastor, I don't want you to think I'm taking over or anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call her out even if she's not. Denise is back there. Denise came to the house of God. And we said, Lord, my wife is running Mission Kids and it ought not be. She's got no kind of, I mean, this is not her call at all. Praise the Lord Jesus. She started it up. She started a rotation. There was excellence in there, but it took all her efforts. It's kind of like me with administration. It took all her efforts to get that really, really running with excellence. And we were praying, Lord, you need to bring somebody who's gifted and called to do this. Denise shows up one day and she says, hey, can I meet with you guys? Okay. She goes, I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to take over. What you guys are doing is great, but when I came to the mission, I felt like God told me that I was going to be running Mission Kids one day. And look, I'm not trying to promote myself. I said, hey, it's yours. You know, hey, bless the Lord Jesus. We're putting stuff in our hands, you know. Look, I'm not threatened by that. Now, just for those of you who have kids in there, it was like a three-month process of the handing over. You know, we got to know her. We got to know her background. We asked really, really probing questions, you know, did background. You know, we went through it, understood. So it's not like someone came in, we gave them the kids, you know. But we immediately recognized the calling and blessed it. But there has to be an order to it. There's an eldership in the house here, and this has to be done with order. You have to understand how we minister. You have to understand what we define as excellence. You have to understand what we believe to be security for the kids and what you're going to teach them and all that. But we immediately recognize the call. We weren't threatened by it. And there's other positions in the house right now that I'm praying, Lord, bring these leaders. But since we mix gifting and all that, you know, someone comes in, they have a great evangelistic gift, they think they're ready to be in charge of the church. And I say, no, I bless your gift of evangelism. Flow in it, but it doesn't mean I'm going to make you an elder. He says, look, verse 2, therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunk, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. And it just goes through these things. And if you notice, every one of these things are character issues. Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert. He'll become puffed up with pride and fall into condemnation. Verse 7, moreover, he must be thought well of by outsiders, so he may not fall into disgrace. What? The world has to think I'm okay? Yeah. What's that mean? You can't be a hypocrite? You can't be a Sunday Christian and be an elder? This ain't the Elks Club that, you know, you serve real good and we give you a position. It's, you know what I'm saying? We're not the Kiwanis or the Boy Scouts that you can earn a place. It's just, that's not what we're doing. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. There's giftings, there's callings, there's anointings, but it was Timothy who was supposed to decide who was going to be an elder. And this decision was based on character. Before I made Sergio our worship leader, he was a spiritual son of mine for well over a year, maybe 2 years at that point. I recognized the call in his life. The Lord told me, you know, make him the worship leader. When I made him the worship leader, we were still in my house. We were having church in my living room, and we were worshiping the CDs. He wasn't even doing any kind of musical anything for us. I mean, he led worship one time at an outreach we had, but that was it. But I heard the Lord. That's your man right there. And I said, okay, that's what God has called him to do. I recognize what God is doing in his life. I knew intimately his walk. And I blessed him for this position. I released him into this calling. And he's flourished. Other people, you know, they've come and they're here for a minute, and I don't recognize them, and all of a sudden, oh, there's not enough anointing in that church for me to whatever. Well, go be blessed. I hope you find another one that works for you. I'm not threatened by that. I'm the pastor because people call me pastor. If you feel like God has called you to another house, I bless you to go to that house. Let me read you something. In our we have a piece of paper that we have everybody who comes into leadership has to understand. It's about being a committed part of the mission. And here's number three. It says, if I find myself in a consistent place where I cannot in good conscience receive from and accept the delegated leadership of the mission, I accept the responsibility to communicate this to those in authority. And if discussion and prayer with the leadership cannot resolve the problem, I'm free to leave the church, dissolving the commitment I made. I don't have the authority to curse you for leaving this church. And some of you, that means a lot, because you've come from churches that curse you when you leave. I don't have the authority to bind you and control you and make you be a part of something you don't feel committed to. I don't have that right. Jesus Christ did not give me that right to control your life. People come to me. Here's really funny. They come to me because one of you are doing something they don't like. And they'll call me up and they'll say, Pastor, can you tell them to stop doing this? What? I don't run people's lives, I tell them. They say, well, they're doing this stuff and we don't really, you know, and, you know, this seems kind of cultic behavior. I'm like, cult? You want me to control them and you're calling me the cult leader? I'm telling you, I'm not going to control people's lives. And I'm the... I'm not their daddy. I didn't raise them. You don't like what was produced? Look at their parents. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. That's another thing, though. Only ask somebody to control somebody to the level you're willing to submit to control. Don't ask the pastor to rebuke somebody only to the level of rebuke you're willing to receive. Here's my new thing. Someone calls me up and says, Pastor, will you call them and tell them not to do this? I'll say, wow, that's awesome. Absolutely. But first, I'll need you to let me look into your life and see anything I find out of order, and let me tell you how to live your life. You let me run your life, then maybe I'll tell them. But you're probably not going to want that because you just want control. But I won't be your tool of control. I've already surrendered that tool to the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'll leave that one out there. All right, so here's what I want to do. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. I want to release you to bless people in your life now. I want to release you to bless people. I want to release you to honor people who are worthy of honor. And you know what? Everybody is, because they were created by God. Real little side note real quick. You know in the word where it says the kabod glory came into the temple? Anybody remember that? The kabod glory? That kabod is the same word used in the Ten Commandments where it said, honor your mother and father, kabod. It says, kabod your mother and father. The kabod came into the temple. It's honor. It's not control. It's not surrender your life. It's honor. Recognize the godly gift in your parents on Mother's Day. Recognize how the Spirit of God moved in your parents and raised you. Don't look at the places where they didn't submit to Holy Spirit's control. Look to the areas that they did and honor that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just love you this morning. Jesus. 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 All right, here we go. We're gonna bless the Lord right now. You ready? Lord, we love you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. 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 Lord Jesus, we declare that you are Lord. That you created everything. And today we honor you. You are the living God. We're not in competition with you, that we've given you everything already. We submit to your control. And we say we want to be vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, just stay in this attitude of prayer. Some of you, it's hard for you to honor people because you've been hurt by people you honored in the past. There's people you've given leadership in your life and they've abused it. So in your heart, you've placed this protection. And you say, I can't let people get too close because they might hurt me. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to heal that this morning. He's going to heal it this morning. He's going to heal it this morning. Jesus. Jesus. Come, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare blessings over the hearts. Lord, we release those who cursed us. We forgive those who cursed us. We forgive those who treated us badly. We say you owe us nothing. Just like Jesus forgave us, we say we forgive them. It was a free gift of forgiveness, and now we give it away to those who hurt us. Come on. Come on. You got to forgive. He's even bringing people to your mind right now. You need to release that hurt. Release that hurt right now. Jesus. Release it, Jesus. Release.